I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hi, welcome to Amazing FBA. This is your host, Michael Veazey, speaking. And this podcast episode is brought to you by Reliable Income, led by Adam Hudson. Reliable Income is an Amazon community and course, and Adam Hudson is an Amazon seller. He's doing well over seven figures a year now, and also a very straightforward Australian. And in a sea of hypey Americans, that is quite a refreshing change. Adam will tell you it straight when it comes to how much money you need to private label, which is measured in the thousands of dollars these days, not hundreds, and how long it takes to really get a private label product off the ground when you're working alongside the day job, which again is measured in months rather than weeks. Now, alongside that, Adam, however, is a very, very positive guy, and he has a lot to offer in terms of getting a really great positioning on Amazon for your product. So high quality products selling at a really good price and keeping the competition at bay, which it's never been a smarter time to adopt that strategy than in 2018 when Me Too or Cheap are just going to be trashed by the Amazon crowd or have their price disappear into the floor overnight. So I really, really think his approach is sustainable. Hence, I think that Reliable Income is a very good word for his type of training. If you want to find out more about Adam, as I said, amazingfba.com/Adam. If you want to find out more about his training and or take the four-part video training course, which is free, go to amazingfba.com/reliable, R-E-L-I-A-B-L-E. Just for more transparency, I am an affiliate of that, so that will buy more than a coffee, as is the traditional about affiliate sales. But what it will do is help cover some of the costs of running the podcast, which hopefully benefits you, some of the software that I have to use to keep in touch with the guests, and my beloved and long-suffering editor, Daniel, who is worth his weight in gold, but I have got to pay him, because even editors have to eat as well. So I've got to pay for blogging, podcast hosting, the rest of it. So that helps to cover some of my costs there. And I hope you'll check that out. Now on with the show.
Okay, so there's tons to unpack here. I mean, first of all, one of the reasons I think that I get why this is so important, when I say I get, like I have some great insight, and you have the insight from experience. I'm just starting to learn this stuff, but I know for a fact, I'm sitting here right now, I'm interviewing you because, to put it at its most basic, and this is a very unflattering thing to say, I need some kind of content. I've got to put something out there. I've got to keep iTunes fed. Otherwise, it dumps me in the ratings. So at the very, very least, influencers are hungry for content. And people who are cynical about this don't get how that feels, because they haven't run a podcast or a YouTube channel or whatever. So that's the first thing. We are hungry. We need content. The second thing is that if I bring a fantastic value to my audience, and in this case, it's you bringing really important strategies to sellers, but it would be the same thing if I had a bunch of people who are obsessed about, you know, iPhone covers in cool designs, for example. Then the second thing I'm most desperate for is my audience to send me an email and go, Mike, that was really cool. Thank you so much. And the third thing I want to do is obviously make some money. So I really think that is something that if you haven't been on this side of the fence, like you and I have, Brian, then people don't realize how hungry you are for content. And so that's the first thing I wanted to say. Now let's unpick this a little bit, because you're talking about content strategies for the influencers. So does that mean that there are sort of specific frameworks that you have ready made that you always educate your people about?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We always come, we never say, hey, here's our product, review it, right? You want to engineer the review, right? There's a few steps to this, right? So first of all, we develop our brand story, or what's called the hero's journey, right? We want the influencer and the influencer's audience to adhere to our brand. You know, we're engineered as humans to remember stories before, you know, written language, before Sanskrit and cuneiform, which were the first written languages, before all of that, right? The way that history and knowledge was passed down was through storytelling. So we are genetically encoded to remember stories. Okay, so what we do, part of our strategy, is to come up with a quick one paragraph story. It's our hero's journey. You know, I kind of went through a version of my own in the beginning of this interview, right? I told you I was sued for $10 million. You know, I hit rock bottom and then somehow miraculously figured out a way to get out of that situation. By the way, we won, if you're wondering, we won that lawsuit. So that was good. I didn't wind up spending $10 million. Thank goodness. But, you know, that said, you want to come up with your brand story. Now, that's the first thing that we do when we approach an influencer. We say, hey, here's why we're selling, you know, let's take, for example, lip balm. Because, you know, one of my students actually does sell a lip balm making kit. I've helped him develop his story recently. And I don't know if you know this, but most of the chapsticks out there, you know, the cooling chapsticks, that sensation you get when you put it on, they call it menthol, when you put it on your lips, is because they've got fiberglass, minuscule microscopic fiberglass pieces inside of the chapstick that when you put it on your lips, it cuts your lip. And that's why you feel that cooling sensation. It's terrible for your health and has been in studies attributed to Alzheimer's. So that said, we demonized the entire industry for doing this, right? And then what we do is we provide the solution. Okay, this lip balm making kit, know what goes into your lip balm, 100% organic ingredients, right? Don't give your, imagine your three-year-old putting on fiberglass and cutting her lip. How would you feel about that? So you create this story, right? And that's your brand story, the why behind what you're doing. And then you give that to the influencer. So not only does the influencer remember you and your brand, but then when they relay that information to their audience in whatever format they do, the audience also remembers you and your brand. And that's real brand building. That's brand building 101, developing your hero's journey, your story, your brand story, the why behind, you know, what you're doing there. I mean, take it back to George Foreman and his grills. You know, if you remember, if you're old enough to remember that, right? Like I am. You know, the grill was on a slant, right? And he's a very healthy guy. He's a boxer, you know, and so you wanted to knock out the fat, right? Why was it on a slant? Because it knocked out the fat, right? And so all the fat went dripping down into this little container. That was a bit of the why behind, you know, the design of it. So you remember that. And so that's the first thing that we do with influencers, Michael, is we'll give them our brand story. And then behind that, we give them the content. And that content, we really design their review. We talk about the highlights, the talking points we want them to mention. You know, what does this chapstick do for you? You know, it prevents chapstick addiction. With other chapsticks, will dry your lips out and then you have to continually use it, whereas this one won't. You know, and you really unpack the benefits. You know, and it's, you know, there are primary benefits and then there's secondary benefits to all of your products. And also you want to use this kind of philosophy when you're writing your product listings as well. But the primary benefits of your product are kind of the benefits you go, duh, like everybody knows that. That's not what you want to talk about. You want to talk about the secondary benefits, the benefits that you would go, wow, that's incredible. I didn't realize that there was fiberglass inside of most of them and that they cause addiction, that your lips will be more chapped after using this habitually. So, you know, you really want to touch on all of those things, and then you create, you craft, you direct the influencer's review, their endo, their endorsement, right? And when you do that, that's how you really have a lot of success. You know, I heard you say, and I sell in the UK pretty successfully as well. I'm in the US, the UK, and we're expanding to other markets. But in the UK, I found there's a bit more cynicism than the US. Is that accurate?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I think my voice is out there in the Amazon community and seems to have some kind of resonance. I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, any of the big names, but yeah, we have a somewhat more cynical view of life, particularly in London. I mean, we're, you know, it's a fast moving, hard edged place. And I guess that gives a certain flavor to the approach. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, that's why influencer marketing is extra effective. You know, we're not, it's not the brand trying to push something down your throat, right? We're not saying, hey, buy our shit. You know, I'm sorry, I don't know if I can drop curse on this, but, you know, we're not saying that, right? What we're doing is we're allowing third parties, right? People that are known, liked, and trusted in the community, in our niche, we're allowing them to say, hey, this is an awesome product, you know, and we recommend it. And that's why it works so well. It works so well in the US. It works even better in the UK. Because it's not the brand, right? It's not the brand doing it. And when you engineer the influencer's endorsement for your product, that's where you really start to see sales. You know, most of the time when I see people that are, you know, dubious about influencer marketing, it's one of two things. One, they just don't understand it and they've never really given it a good try. Or two, they've tried it, but they haven't done it the right way, right? So it's like, oh man, yeah, I got in a car, I put the keys in the engine, you know, I put my hands on the steering wheel, I closed the door and I floored the accelerator pedal and nothing happened, right? Well, you don't have gas in the tank, buddy, so you're not going to go anywhere, right? So when you do it the right way, when you put gas in the tank with influencer marketing, you know, that's when you really start to see huge effects. That's why when you hear these, you know, these folklores of of Amazon sellers completely clearing their entire inventory with one endorsement, you know, you go, oh, sure, yeah, right. I don't know even if I believe that, but it's true. And it happens all the time. And we can talk a little bit, if you'd like, about the benefits beyond just making more sales.
Sure. Well, that's definitely worth talking about. Although I think more sales is something that pretty much everyone would be pretty happy with, just getting that alone. Let's talk a little bit more then about the a couple of things that strike me. I'm on my little list here of things I've got to ask. So the first thing is, does this only work for kind of sexy products? So, for example, lip balm's an interesting one. Obviously, you positioned against, it's not just a hero's journey, but you've actually positioned yourself against the evil standard version of a product, which I think is very smart and very interesting. Mm-hmm. But, okay, lip balm's interesting because it doesn't seem overtly sexy, but maybe there's some health risk, and health is always emotive and therefore leads to action and movement, right? But what about if I'm selling something fairly generic that doesn't have any major sort of health risks? Let's say a spatula in the kitchen is the classic example. That's probably a really terrible idea to sell anyway. But let's say a microphone. Let me just show you what I've got here, that a mic stand that works for podcasting.
Sure, sure.
Which is a pretty generic looking product. And you know, I got it. It's manufactured by some Chinese sounding company, having my entire setup here now. It's black and it's got springs. I mean, there's nothing very sexy about it. It's not very original.
Sure.
It's not particularly dangerous unless I trap my fingers in it by being completely stupid. It's not like to cut me. It's not going to endanger my child's health. So how would you sell this? Is this a target at all? Is this a candidate, rather, for influencer marketing? Sure. Or do I need to just forget
I get that question all the time about unsexy products. People telling me, oh, there's no influencers in my niche or my category. And I say that's absolutely wrong. And you just need to think more high level, right? So why don't we go through both of the examples you've given me? I'll do it real quick. And then I'll give you one that's even less sexy that a student of mine actually had. Okay. So the spatula. Spatula is easy. It's not sexy. Nobody's going to review it, you would think. But think about professional chefs. How many cooking channels are there on YouTube?
I have absolutely no idea.
There are hundreds of thousands of cooking channels on YouTube, right? And a lot of these are unknown names with 3 million people following them, right? Think about the backyard warriors, right? The grill, the people that are grilling in their backyard. Think about the happy homemakers in their kitchen. Think about the Gordon Ramsays. Think about, you know, so it really is a very easy target. You know, whenever anyone says, I've got a spatula as an example, I'm like, wow, you have a giant amount of influencers to work with there. If you wanted to move to the, you said the microphone stand, right?
Yeah.
Think about podcasts. Podcasters are influencers, are they not? Right? Sure. You're a podcaster. You're an influencer. That's an easy kill for me, Michael. You're making it too easy.
Yeah, that's true. You know, as soon as you said that, I thought, hang on a second. I'm a podcaster. If I were going to teach the podcast about how to do podcasts, then I'd say, well, you know, I just got this stand from Amazon. It cost me about $15.
Let me tell you a story.
Honestly, yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Let me tell you a very honest story. You ready for this, Michael? Do you see this microphone and this stand, this fancy looking?
I do. Very nice.
This fancy microphone.
Microphone stand jealousy now.
Do you know why I bought this exact setup right here?
I have no idea.
One, it sounds great, but I love the look of it too. It's clean. It articulates very well. The sound of the microphone is great. But Joe Rogan has this exact setup. So Joe Rogan is the third most popular podcaster on the planet, the Joe Rogan Show. I listen to it from time to time. Very interesting stuff. He also has a YouTube channel. And I noticed that he had this. And then in the link of one of his YouTube videos, he had a link to this. And guess what that was? That was an affiliate link. So I went through his link, bought this microphone stand and this Shure microphone, and Joe Rogan, I'm sure, got paid for my purchase. So that's real time, not planned. Michael and I did not plan this. Real time, unplanned example. Now I'm going to give you one more less sexy product, even less sexy than everything else. Okay, and I have two. I'm trying to determine how liberal is your audience here.
Let's assume reasonably liberal.
Okay, then I'm going to go with the one that's more gross, and it's at home. Colonics.
Great. Yeah, okay. That's not sexy. I'll give you that.
It's not sexy. Well, it depends on who you are. It might be sexy. The point being here, Michael, that nobody wants to talk about this, right? It's even harder to get reviews on her Amazon product. So it literally is an at-home colonic. And if you don't know what that is, that cleans you out from the other direction, right? Let's just put it there. And, you know, you've got to like lay down and stick a tube where the sun doesn't shine and let it all flow. So it's not exactly a pretty product. Now, here's what we did. We went out to, and I helped her. I coached her through this whole thing. It's incredibly successful. She's built her own social media following, and that's another benefit we can talk about later to influencer marketing. But, you know, she went out to influencers that were all about gut health. Okay. And then what we did, and we had maybe 24 influencers talk about gut health and the benefits of an at-home colonic, and then endorse and review her at-home colonic system. I mean, we literally had influencers laying down prone in their bathtub using it, making a video for YouTube. Hilarious stuff. I mean, it's amazing. So if you think that you don't have an influencer in your category, for your niche, for your product, you're absolutely 100% wrong. And if you do all of the research and you find that there is truly no influencer in your category, then you need to become the influencer, because there's no more profitable position than being the influencer yourself. You can create that market. So that's what I always say, but I haven't come across that yet. I've always found an influencer for myself, any of my products, any of my students.
Amazing. Well, you couldn't come up with a more niche and unusual example, I have to say. So hopefully the audience is still listening if they're not too freaked out by that. But it just goes to show that in the internet era, every funny little area of life has a passionate audience that has found its niche. And this is the difference between the internet era and media and the mass media market, right? I mean, mass media, it's, you know, I remember the day when we had 3 channels in the UK on TV. That dates me, I'm afraid. But, you know, you couldn't put something weird like that on, because it would have an audience of about 50,000 people and the rest of them would be writing 100,000 letters of complaint, and they couldn't even send email back in the day. But that is so different now, so that you couldn't come up with a clearer example of the fact that every strange product has a niche audience.
Sure does. Sure does. Yep, absolutely.
So, Brian, just tell us, I'm aware that we haven't got much more time. I mean, I think that I really, really want to dig deeper on some of these things with you. So if we can get you back on at some point soon to
love to
deeper detail, that would be fantastic. But just very briefly, a couple of quick questions, really. One is, tell us about the platforms, because obviously I personally, my feeling, my gut instinct is the platform is not as important as the supply and demand, if you like, of a product. In other words, of a market. In other words, if you've got a load of people that want to hear about colonic irrigation and there's nobody talking about it, it probably doesn't matter so much whether they're doing it on YouTube or on a blog or on Twitter. That would be my instinct. But I can hear the audience saying, which is the magic platform? Which is the place that's going to make me $1 million? Is it all about Instagram? Is Twitter dead? You know, so can you answer some of those questions for me?
Sure, sure. So my, you know, and this is that you're asking me to, you know, to teach you how to build a watch. But let's just look at the time for now. So I'll just go through the list. Personally, I love YouTube. I think YouTube is probably the most effective. It's got longevity. You know, we've launched influencer endorsements on YouTube that did not get traction right away. And then, you know, we woke up one day, 6 months down the road, and we're like, whoa, where are these sales coming from? What's going on? And then we realized, we went back and we found that the YouTube video, for one reason or another, whether the algorithm on YouTube changed and they ranked it higher organically, or there was just a social trend or what have you, there's a million different reasons, but YouTube videos last forever. And they can catch wind down the road. They can be huge right away. It really is. It's got longevity. So that's why I love YouTube. Also, you know, you can download these YouTube videos. There's a great site. I'll give you a quick pro tip here. It's called keepvid.com, KEEPVID.com. You guys can download YouTube videos for free. So I always take the influencer endorsement, download that, and then we reutilize it, right? So we push it across all of our platforms. We'll take a screenshot. You know, we'll make what's called a quote card in Canva or canva.com. If you're not familiar, it's like if you don't know Photoshop, that's a great website to use. So we'll make a quote card from the screenshot of the YouTube video, put that into our email sequence, and then send it out as well. And that will lead to more reviews for our product exponentially. I love YouTube. You can do the exact same thing with Instagram. I'd say just below that's probably Instagram, and blogs are tied for me. But here's the real thing, Michael. Nowadays, you know, in 2014 when I started, people were pretty, and they still are, they still have one home where they start, right? They, most influencers have a native home. That's where they started. That's where they know. But most of them nowadays are very cross-platform. So it's not just YouTube, and it's not just Instagram. It's YouTube, it's Instagram, it's, you know, it's Pinterest, it's Twitter. You know, most people have a lot more than just one spot, right, that they're leaving their endorsement for you. So that's a big part of going out to influencers and being successful, to say, hey, that's great, you'll make a YouTube endorsement for us, but please, would you also share that on your Instagram story? Or would you put that on your Instagram wall? Would you take a snippet of that and put it on your wall? Will you do, you know, would you make a pin? So, you know, for me, I love YouTube. If I had to, you know, categorize them, I'd say YouTube is at the top. Blogs and Instagram are tied as well. You know, bloggers still are very, very powerful. I think a lot of people think because it was the original influencer platform, it's old news. It's not. Blogs are huge. They're absolutely enormous. So that I'd have to categorize them. And then everything else falls kind of below that. You know, I would say Pinterest, and Twitter and the rest are down there as well. But if you get the right influencer with a big enough following, and you've crafted that content, you've crafted that strategy for them, any platform can work, and it can work extremely well. We've had success on all of them.
Fantastic. Well, you've really answered what was probably an extremely poorly put question very well. So that's a really clear answer. So Brian, obviously we've got to wrap up because I know you've got a million things to do, but how can people find out more about this stuff? Because I know you've got a lot of very detailed information available to guide people on this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I actually just put out an entire course on influencer marketing and how it affects your Amazon business. You know, there's so many more benefits than just selling more, right? So when you do influencer marketing right, you know, we have something that we give away as a bonus to the course, which is called Pipe Burst. It's a mini course. It's a strategy that we use to launch new products. You get full price sales just by, you know, gathering a ton of influencers and having them all release their endorsement at the same time. Really, really powerful. Also, when you use influencers the right way, you rank on the first page almost every single time. Your reviews will double or triple. It's just really one of the most powerful strategies out there. So the course is called AIM, and that's an acronym for Amazon Influencer Marketing. You know, Michael, I think that where are we going to, because I want to do something special. I want to do 50% off for anyone watching this. I didn't tell you this, but I'm going to give half off. It's originally a $2,000 course. We're going to do half off as long as they use your link.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, we can put a link up in at amazingfba.com/AIM, A-I-M, Amazon, short for Amazon Influencer Marketing. Presumably, there'll be a halfway house between this really inspiring information and actually going straight into paying for a full course. Is there any sort of free information that people can use?
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys can go out to YouTube. I've got a lot of training on YouTube. I've done huge webinars on this where I go really into the depths of every one of the platforms and talk a lot about that. Just search my name, Brian Burt, B-U-R-T, on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe. And check it out. But I love this stuff. As you can tell, I'm incredibly passionate about it. I love selling on Amazon. I'm going to Thailand on Sunday for a month. I just have to take a laptop. And that's why I love selling on Amazon so much. You're location independent. And I've kind of just through happenstance have stumbled onto this strategy that nobody else is using. if you're looking to get into influencer marketing in your Amazon business right now, it's the best time in the world. You're going to crush everyone around you. And while everyone else is following the same strategies and the same patterns, you know, that all the quote unquote gurus are teaching out there, you know, a lot of these gurus aren't even selling on Amazon themselves. I am a legit real Amazon seller. I've got 3 accounts, you know, we do multiple 6 figures a month, and this works, guys. This is just, and that's why I'm so passionate, because I found something that works and nobody's adopting it. And so I don't feel bad sharing everything with everybody, because you know, the ones that do adopt it will absolutely win.
Yeah, well, what I think is above all very refreshing about this is you started using this in 2014. Now, normally in the Amazon world, that means it was copied 1 month later, and then 6 months later, everybody's doing it. But for whatever strange reason, that just isn't the case. I interact with so many people, wannabe sellers, good sellers, mediocre sellers. Hardly anyone is using this. And I really think it's the wave of the future. So Brian, thank you so much for coming to spread the word about this. I think, you know, whether people go for the course or not is one thing. I mean, it's always going to be a small percentage of people that it's right for, and that's fine. But I would urge anyone listening to really take this stuff ultra seriously, because I truly think that the influencer marketing is the way to go in this coming year, because it's so underutilized. It's a joke.
I couldn't agree more. It's going to only get better and better. And you're giving Amazon what they want. You're giving them external traffic that converts. And that's the name of the game.
Absolutely. So, Brian, thank you so much for coming in and spreading this, what I think is a crucial message. And I definitely, we're going to get you back on if we can persuade you to come back on in the midst of your many other appointments and obligations to share in more detail. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of questions about this from the audience if they have any kind of sense.
Well, that's great. That's great. Thank you so much for having me on. And I'm happy to come back at any time.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Brian. Brilliant to have you on.
Okay, guys. Cheers.
Take care.